1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Five one double 51 is our text number. Katie Hannon sitting in for Joe again. Mary Kenny, good afternoon to you.
Hello.
Mary, I believe you're on a mission to track down the family of a War of Independence veteran for a very special reason. And it all,
I am.
And it all started when you bought a wardrobe.
It did, in the 70s. I bought a wardrobe from a house in Caberwell. And we had it for years. And one day we put our hand in on the shelf of the wardrobe and we found two medals.
And they'd been there the whole time and nobody had noticed.
Yeah, even when we like removed the wardrobe, you know what I mean, from one house to the other.
Yeah.
You know.
And this wardrobe, had it just been advertised in small ads, or how did you...
No, it was. I think it was advertised in the Evening Herald.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where everything was back in the day, the Evening Herald and the Evening Press.
Yeah.
So you had it for many years, you say. When did you find these medals?
We found them, I'd say, maybe 5 or 6 years after we got the wardrobe. But I had 9 children. I hadn't got transport. And for me to get back to that house in Cabra, I would have had to go into town, get a bus into town, and then get another bus out of town.
And in fairness, with 9 children, Mary, you had enough on your plate at that stage.
I had. Yeah.
But time moved on and you got thinking about the medals again.
I did. I realised they were very important medals and they should go back to the family that they belong to.
So go on.
I got my son to bring me back to the house. I remember the house I bought the wardrobe in. And my son brought me back there about 3 years ago.
Where was that house, Mary?
It was in Caber West.
Do you remember the road?
I do. I think it was Mulray Road, Caber West. And the lady, I couldn't get an answer at the door. And the next door neighbour said to me, she thought that lady had died. And the family had moved away.
So were you basically had a dead end at that stage?
Yes, but the next door neighbour kind of gave me a bit of information. She was saying to me, the lady I bought the wardrobe off of taught music in the cabaret area.
Okay, that's a lead, yeah.
And that she actually had a trio and that they played on RTE, the Parker Trio.
Right. Oh, we should say, of course, that there was a name on one of the medals.
There is. The name on the medal is Bernard Parker.
Bernard Parker. And again, we should expose... I have a lovely picture of the two medals here in front of me. We should explain what they are. So one of them is a more recent one. The date on it is 1939 to 1946, which, of course, was the years of the emergency. And that was at Nafoursi Cosanta. That's the defence forces. So he was obviously involved in that. But the other medal dates back to the War of Independence.
Well, I think it's 1916 as well. This man was involved in 1916 and the War of Independence.
Yeah, they're very special. Both these medals. You went to Cabra. You found out that there was some bit of information about this family, the Parkers.
Yeah.
But you nobody had an address or any other lead for them, did they?
No, I have a feeling the lady I bought the wardrobe off of never married. I just now have that feeling myself. I might be wrong, but I wouldn't say she ever had children. And that's my idea. But I'm sure she's loads of nieces and nephews, you know?
So do you think that the person you bought, the woman you bought the wardrobe of, might be a daughter of Bernard Parker?
I'd say she was a daughter or a granddaughter, yes.
Were the neighbours able to fill you in any more about, beyond the fact that she taught music?
No.
About the family?
No.
Were you able to do any other research into...
Well, I guess there was a kind of an army thing on in Erindale. GAA club there a while ago, and there was a kind of an army historian there, and she gave me a bit of information about the man. You know, he fought in Church Street in 1916 on the forecourt. He was in A Company, the 1st Battalion, Dublin Brigade. So
if anyone...
And I know he had two daughters and one son. And he was a cooper by occupation.
By trade, I was a cooper.
Yeah.
And tell me... So let's go back over that then. So he was in the Easter Rising. He fought in the forecourt and in Church Street.
Yeah.
And he
was actually interned in Ballykindler internment camp in County Down.
That was just after the war, or at the end of the War of Independence, when the internment was brought in.
I think it was after 1916.
Yeah, I think that might have been in the 20s. Mm. And this is, again, we'll just, in case there's anyone out there that might have any information that might be able to bring us to Bernard or to Bernard's family. Bernard Parker is the name on these medals.
On the medals,
And the medals themselves, have you found out any more about them? Are they valuable, or is it just for
somebody
souvenir?
Said to me, like, to be worth... One man said to me the main medal, the black and tan medal, would be worth about 7,000. And the other medal was worth about 3,000.
So you could have had 10,000 euros worth of medal in your wardrobe for those years without ever realising it?
Yes. I think only in the latter years they've become really valuable, you know?
And, well, fair play to you, though, Mary, because others might just feel finders keepers and you know, cash in the medals, but you want to reunite them with Bernard Parker's
family. I would, yes. I think they belong to the family.
Can I bring in, is Nolene your daughter, Mary?
She is, yeah. Yes, Nolene.
Nolene, are you on the line there, Nolene?
I am indeed, yes.
So, we're just obviously, we're putting it out there. Does anybody have any information that could lead us to whoever is there, still there from the Bernard Parker's family? Just could you go? You did a bit of research yourself, I believe.
We did, yeah. We know he had one son and two daughters, and we know that they are all deceased.
Right, and do we know their names, Nolene?
Yes, it is Bernard, Mary, and Bridget.
Bernard, Mary, and Bridget.
Okay.
And do we
Parkers?
Okay, and they've all passed on now.
They've all passed on, yes.
And do we know if they have any children?
Well, we don't have any information beyond that, I'm afraid.
So we know that they were in this house in Cabra in the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think your mum was telling us there, Mulroy Road in Cabra, from her memory.
Now we think that's where one of the daughters lived, but Bernard himself, his last known address was Dunmanis Road in Cabra.
Okay, the plot thickens.
Yes.
And how do we know that the children are dead now?
Now, this would have been from, sorry, one second, please. Ma'am, how do we know the children are dead? Just check it, ma'am.
The military storm lady was searching for me. Hello? Service lady that came to the Army show in Ireland's Isle looked up this information for me. She went to the funeral, on the Queen's funeral directors, she got information from him and he gave her this information.
Okay, well, we're getting another, a listener has been able to dig out a death notice actually for Bernard Parker. This goes back to, this was in the Irish press on May 23rd, 1950. That was when Bernard Parker passed away. This sets out it was a he was a veteran of the 1916 Rising, exactly as you were told. He joined the volunteers in 1913 and was a member of the A Company 1st Battalion. That was your information as well, Mary. It says here he took part in the Howth gun running in 1914, and during the Rising he was a member of the Four Courts garrison, but escaped from the building when the fighting ended. And it goes on to say he continued an active member of the Dublin Brigade during the Black and Tan War. He was arrested in 1920. That's, again, your information. He interned in the Ballykinler camp until the general release in 1921. And during the emergency, again, that's the other medal that you have there, Mary. And during the emergency, he was a member of the 26th Battalion of the Army. And there may be some people still with relatives that would have been involved in that. And it says here the chief mourners were his widow Mary. Oh, that's important, I suppose, to say. Yeah, his widow was called Mary. Son Bernard, daughters Veronica and Bridget, actually. So
we have one maid on,
yeah. So it was daughters Veronica and Bridget, and he had at that stage a surviving brother Michael and a niece, Mrs. M. Flanagan, according to this report. So that's just one piece of information different there, because you thought the daughter was Mary. So it's daughters Veronica and Bridget, and as you had rightly there, his son was named for him, son Bernard. So that was 1950, and the address on that was Dunmanis Road in Cabra. So at that stage in 1950, the family were living in Dunmanis Road in Cabra. So that might be, if there's anyone out there again with any information, That's a hint of where they were, at least in the 1950s. So I think we can go. Liz, good afternoon, Liz.
How are you?
Liz Gillis. Liz, you know a lot more about this than the rest of us. You work on the history show. You're a researcher, and you've done research into this very colourful part of our history. So tell us about that bit of information we have there about Bernard Parker's military record.
Well, in the Four Courts in 1916, that was under the command of Ned Daly, and he was actually the commanding officer of the 1st Battalion. So Bernard, being a member of A Company, he's right there under the leadership of Ned Daly. He was only 25 years old at the time, brother-in-law of Tom Clark. And during Easter week, that area saw some of the most intense fighting and some of the most savage and tragic acts during Easter week took place in and around the Four Courts. Right from the get-go, it saw intense fighting because they were positioned there to stop the British soldiers, well, the Irish regiments that were based in Collins Barracks, what's now Collins Barracks, coming in to get to the General Post Office once the authorities knew what was afoot on Easter Monday. And you had Sean Houston based in the Medici Institute, and pretty much that is what happens. They stop the British troops getting into O'Connell Street. And that sort of sets the tone for the fighting that happens around the Four Courts area. It got a lot worse when you had the arrival of the British troops from England. They come under attack, the Sherwood Foresters come under attack from De Valera's men who were stationed around Clanwilliam House and Mount Street Bridge there. It was 17 volunteers, and they inflicted really heavy casualties on the Sherwood Foresters. But the South Staffordshire Regiment, they were the ones that then went to the Four Courts area. And you had a number of volunteers that were stationed in Riley's Pub, it became known as Riley's Fort, and that's where you had pretty much house-to-house fighting. The British soldiers didn't want a repeat of what happened at Mount Street, where you had 17 volunteers in houses covering the bridge, and they just opened fire on the regiment marching down Northumberland Road, and they were sitting ducks, literally 244 men killed or wounded. So you can understand that the South Staffs were on high alert, and because they didn't know who they were fighting, they think anyone is involved in this. And unfortunately, you have then the murders that that took place in North King Street, where the male civilians in a number of houses along North King Street were shot and killed by members of the South Staffordshire Regiment. They pulled back by the end of the week. Saturday, Ned Daly sort of gets everyone, tries to call everyone back to the forecourts, and a number of men did escape, and that just didn't happen at the forecourts. It happened at Jacob's Biscuit Factory and other outposts. Certainly men that weren't in uniform, it was easier for them to get out, and a number of them were told, if you're not in uniform, get out, because you can mix in with the crowd. But if you were in uniform, you know, you wouldn't be able to hide that. So it was one of the most intense battlefields during 1916. And in looking beyond Bernard's 1916 service in the War of Independence, he's arrested. If he was arrested in 1920 and was up in Ballykinlar, it's most likely that he was arrested in the swoop that followed the events of Bloody Sunday, because the authorities, after Collins sent out his assassins to assassinate the British Secret Servicemen, there were mass arrests, and thousands of people, thousands of men were arrested after that event, and where they ended up was Ballykinlar internment camp. So I would be nearly 100% certain that that's when Bernard got arrested in 1920. That's why he got arrested in that massive roundup that happens after Bloody Sunday.
And how many people would have been in Ballykinlar camp after those events?
Oh, well, just off the top of my head, there were 600 men from Dublin alone in Ballykinlar. It's huge numbers, huge numbers. And they were taken from everywhere, from all corners of Ireland, from Galway, Sligo, Dublin. It was just a mass swoop, like sort of what you had after 1916, from all corners of Ireland.
It definitely sounds like he earned this medal if he was indeed in the forecourts garrison during those dramatic events of that week.
Definitely.
Well, he got a pension anyway.
Yeah, and as we know with the army pensions, that you had to prove your service to get that pension. So he obviously did have a role to play in the events of Easter week and beyond.
Yeah, and just to remind listeners, we are looking for, or Mary is looking for, the descendants of Bernard Parker, who lived back at this time. He fought in the War of Independence, in the Easter Rising, was in the Forecourts garrison, as Liz was explaining to us there. And we have the medal, that our Mary has the medal that he was awarded for that service, and she really wants to reunite that medal with the descendants of Bernard Parker. So if there's anyone out there with any more information, we're limited in terms of, we know it goes back, she bought it, she found the medals in a wardrobe that she bought from a small lad, and it came from a house in Cabra. We know that the family were living at another address in Cabra, that's 107 Dunmanis Road, at the time that Bernard Parker died, because that's the address in the death notice. And I have now as well just another little tiny snippet that might jog somebody else's memory. A week after that death notice, there was an acknowledgement placed in the Evening Herald by Bernard Parker's family. And that just says, the wife and family of the late Bernard Parker of 107 Dunmanis Road, I'll put that out there again, that's in Cabra West in Dublin, they wish to return their sincere thanks to all those who sympathised with them in their recent sad bereavement, to all who sent mass cards, telegrams and all of that. And then it mentions, and to his comrades of the old IRA and Cooper's AG and Son Company Limited. So that tallies with what you heard, that must have been an outfit that is that's where he practiced his trade, Amari. Had you come across that name before, Cooper's AG and Son?
No.
Well, maybe
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, maybe some listener out there might know where they were based or know anything about them, and maybe indeed had a relative or an ancestor who may have worked side by side with Bernard Parker. Liz, if I can go back to you. And we then have that other medal, of course, which shows that he was in the Defence Forces during the emergency.
Yeah. And that was a unit that was made up of old IRA men, so men who had served in 1916 in the War of Independence, veterans. And they set up the 26th, and they served during the emergency. So so he obviously did continue his service to defend the country.
Yeah, would that have been not unusual, I would have thought.
No, you have actually a lot of former, like, veterans of the War of Independence and 1916 joining up to be a member of that unit. There is a photograph, there was a booklet done about them. There's a photograph, I think, where they were stationed in, again, Collins Barracks in Dublin. And I think Flora Donoghue, who was the intelligence officer of the IRA down in Cork, he had a role to play with that unit as well. So you do have some very prominent IRA men that were involved, because he had that experience of fighting, intelligence gathering. So they were a vital resource for the Defence Forces during that time.
Indeed. And Mary, if I can ask you, do you feel responsible for these medals now and for getting them back to their rightful place?
I do. I know I could have sold them. Look, just kept my mouth shut and sold them.
You could.
But I said no, the family deserved them back.
And are you hopeful that you will be able to track down some?
I'm sure there must be nieces and nephews of the woman I bought the wardrobe off out there. I'm sure there are.
Well, let's throw out those names again, because those names are important. So we know his widow was named Mary, and his son was named Bernard, and his two daughters were Veronica and Bridget Parker. And
I add one more thing before you go. The lady I bought the wardrobe of had a coverage of the spine. People might recognise her from that.
Oh, well, that's another lead, perhaps, if anyone that had relatives or family in that area. And again, we're talking about... and are you sure about the Mulroy Road address?
I'm sure. Well, I think that's what was... It was a road to the right of the Precious Blood Church in Cabra West. So I think it's Mulroy Road, yeah.
And just one last tiny snippet. We said there that all we know for sure is, as you say, you know where you bought your wardrobe from. We know that the family were in 1950 were living in Dunmanis Road in Cabra. But we've now been told that there is, and there's a lot of great researchers out there, that there is a notice in the Evening Herald from 1960, which is another death notice, giving the same address, 107 Dunmanis Road, but a different name. There was a Wynne, Margaret Wynne, who died in her residence, it says. So she was living at that address in 1960. So did the family move in those 10 years? Did Mary pass away? We don't know, but by 1960 it appears from that notice anyway that the Parkers were no longer resident in Dunmanis Road. So we'll put it out there. We've got somebody, I think, who lived on Mulroy Road. Christopher Kavanagh, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
You lived on Mulroy Road yourself?
I did indeed. And everything that lady said adds up. The two women that lived there. There was an older lady, which I assume was like a grandmother. Then there was Veronica and Bridget, which the woman described perfectly. And then there was a young guy, a kid, like myself at the time. His name was Martin Parker.
Was he, do we think, either Veronica or Bridget's son? Or
I don't know. I assume he might have been one of their sons. He would be about 68 now, same age as myself.
So you piled around with Martin when you were...
I did indeed, when we were about... 10, 11, 12, that type of age, you know.
Oh, right, okay. So this is a great lead entirely. And you're sure, are you, that we're talking about the same family?
Positive, yes. And just as a sidebar there, very interesting, I take it Joe was on his holidays or something, isn't he?
He's got other matters to attend to.
Okay. Well, on Mulroy Road, across the road from me, lived a girl named June Meehan, who is now Joe Duffy's wife.
Oh, so we should...
She's now the Parkers as well.
Well, we'll see. Now we might have to put in a call to Joe. We might have to disturb his break. But anyway, you're sure you were Mulroy Road. And what year are we talking about? So if he would be 68 now, what year would we talk about? We're talking 60, about the 50s, yeah.
Late 60s, early 70s probably.
So that would make sense then. That would make sense that the family must have then moved from Dunmanis Road, where they were in 1950, to Mulroy Road. They didn't go far.
Yeah.
And as you say, Martin, was he Martin Parker, or do you know?
Martin Parker was his name, yes.
Martin Parker. So, and he would, you think, be around 68 now?
Yeah. Where he is now, I have no idea.
And you haven't come across him since you were a young fella yourself?
No. I've moved, obviously, away from there, and I'm married and what have you. But my family still live on Mulroy Road. And definitely Martin Parker, that was the guy, yeah.
That's fantastic, Christopher. Thanks a million for that. And we've just got another listener has emailed us to tell us that AG and Sons refers to Arthur Guinness and Sons in James's Gate. That would make sense because, of course, they would have needed a lot of Coopers.
I remember as a child walking by Guinness's on the quays. And, you know, they'd have the gates open. And when you looked in, you could actually see the Coopers walking. You know, down near Euston Station. Like, I'm 81 now, so I remember all that.
Yeah, it's another time, Mari, but hopefully now we have a name now, Martin Parker. We know that he would be in his late 60s now. So we'll throw that out there and I'll just take a quick break. Stay with us, Mari.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And you're welcome back. Nolene, are you still with us there?
Yes, Nolene too.
Yeah, Nolene, that's a very fantastic new piece of information for your puzzle there from Christopher.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're looking for Martin Parker or his descendants.
Yeah, and I mean, as you say, Martin would only be in his late 60s now, so it's quite likely he's out there, or certainly there's somebody out there who will know who he is and where he might be. So we might well be able to move this on and reunite Martin or as you say, his descendants with these two lovely medals. Can I ask, Liz?
Yeah.
Is there a lot of medals knocking around the country? Like, how rare are these, or you know, how precious are they?
From my perspective, they're very, very precious. There is quite a lot of them around, and not as many 1916 medals because, you know, there was such a limited number of people that actually took part in 1916. War of Independence medals, there is quite a few. But you have then the active service medals, as in they have like an active service bar, the Corak bar, across them, and they would be very, very rare. To me, I couldn't put a monetary value on them. These are medals recognising people's service for the fighting for the freedom of the country, and you know, if anyone has one, you know, relating or belonging to a relative of theirs, it's a thing to cherish.
It's
my great uncle won from the War of Independence, like, you know, and I wouldn't give it up for a lot of money. So they are hugely, hugely important. Just one thing on that might be, might sort of help trace some of the relatives in the pension files. When Bernard would have died, his widow would have gotten a dependence pension. Sure, there should have been some payments still coming to the family, and they would continue right up until his widow died. So there might be an address for his widow, and it might give a change of address depending on when she died. So that might be worth checking out as well.
Another possibility. Well, let's see where this takes us. Liz Gillis from The History Show, thank you for that. Nolene and Mari Kenny, we wish you the best with that. We'll see if we can get any more in on it. We will certainly pass it on. And Christopher, thank you very much for that fantastic lead before we leave the site.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And you're welcome back. And to go back to that item we were talking about at the top of the show, we were talking to Mari Kenny. Mari, you might just remind us, you're a woman on a mission. What were you looking for?
I was looking for the family of Bernard Parker. He was a veteran of the War of Independence. I have two medals that belong to him, and I want to give them back to the family.
This is
his family.
His family. And this is despite, you know, that you've been told there's some value in these medals, but you think their rightful place is their family.
A woman told me the main medal, the Black and Tan medal, with a bar, has a bar on it, is worth about 7,000, and the other ones are worth about 3,000.
Okay, stay with us there, Mari, because I want to go to Kathleen Phelan. Good afternoon, Kathleen.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Kathleen, you know Bernard Parker.
Yeah, he was my adopted father.
We are delighted to speak to you, Kathleen. Welcome to the programme. Do you want to say hello to Mari there?
Yeah, hello, Mari.
Hello, how are
you? My husband has been always saying, Kathleen, we'll find out about those medals, because the girl in Cabo and Smith, the girl in Cabo rang to say that she bought a water from my mother and there were two medals in it. And I hadn't been too well, and I said to my brother, will you go over? And of course he didn't go. So I don't know about the medals. How long ago since you bought the wardrobe?
It was the 70s, I'd say.
Oh, well then, yeah. Well, this girl has been on to me since.
Yes, I went back to Mulray Road, and I was talking to the neighbour, and it must have been her then gave that information, you know?
Yes.
Kathleen, just to remind us, so your connection with Bernard Bernard Parker is?
I was adopted by Mary and Bernard Parker, yeah.
So you were his adopted daughter?
Yes.
And did you live in Mulray Road then?
Yes, and my mother moved 5 times in Cabo. So we were on different houses.
So no wonder we had a bit of trouble tracking you down. So you were in Mulray Road, and then after that you moved to Dunmanis Road, was it?
No, we were in Dunmanis first. We were 3 times on Carnock Road. Then my mother moved to Dunmanis Road, moved back to Carnock Road, and then moved to Mulray Road.
And that bit of information that Mari was told by an old neighbour of yours, that your mother taught music, and that you were involved in some music group.
Yeah, it was the Parker Quintet, it was called. And it was Bronica, who's the real daughter, Bridget. And then there was Mari, who's adopted as well, and Martin. So Martin's still alive, but Mari died.
Okay.
But there's nobody, only Martin and I left.
So you were adopted by Bernard and Mary. So were you were you then an adopted sister to Veronica and Bridget?
Yeah.
And did all of you play in the band or?
Yes.
And you grew up there in Cabra, as you say. You moved. Was it 5 times?
Yeah.
And you had heard there was some issue with medals and a wardrobe, but you hadn't been able to find out any more about it.
No, I wasn't too well, and I said to my brother, we're going to look, and I'd be in touch with him to ask him. And the husband had always been saying, can't you ring up about them medals? Now I have a photograph of my father in Ballykin, isn't that
where
it is?
Ballykin, where he was interned after the War of Independence. And you have a photograph of him in Ballykinler camp?
Yeah.
So you were well aware of his military record in the Easter Rising, were you?
Yeah, big time, because my mother was saying that my father and my mother lived in Acton Street, 44 Acton Street. And it came that there was a knock on the door. My mother said she used to have a gun under her apron because he was involved with the IRA.
Right. So did you know he was actually in the forecourts at that for that heavy fighting that Liz was telling us about earlier?
Yeah, I would have heard that, but you see, the way it was, you didn't know what to believe, because to give you an example, there was a glass in the house, and seemingly he was fighting in the GPO, and my mother said to take out the glass, was like a beer glass with a handle on it, and she said, that's the glass that James Connolly drank out of, and that's the mark of his lips is on it. And I asked, could I bring it to school? And my mother said, no, I'll bring it up and you can show it in school, because, but I don't know. Now, Bridget died. She was the last in the house. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that Veronica had lived in England for years. And I think they threw everything into the skip. And I had to ask my mother that, could I take some of the stuff that was there to leave, you know, to leave them into... or forget where Eddie and I went to. Mm-hmm. And they had medals belonging to people and different things from the war. And she wouldn't part with any of them. But I reckon they all went out to skip.
Oh, God, it's very sad if some really important...
Yeah, yeah. Also, has everything went out just gift.
When were you actually adopted into the family, Kathleen?
When I was 3 weeks old.
And what year would that have been?
1943.
1943. So at that,
yeah.
So that would have been 7 years before Bernard passed away.
Yeah, we lived on Manus Road at the time, I think.
And
107 on Manus Road.
And at that stage, 1943, of course, that was at the height of the emergency. So Bernard was actually in the Defence Forces at that stage.
Right.
Do you remember him then? You know, because you would only have been, what, seven before he died?
Oh, I do remember him, yes, yeah. But he lived a lot at the time with his brother down in Manor Street.
Well, why would that have been now?
Different reasons.
We won't press you on that, Kathleen.
His brother, but all I remember him by was that I was about 7, you're right, and I wanted to go out and play, and my mother said, no, you can't go out. You have to do everything by your mother, even when you're growing up, you have to. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'll go on, let her out to play. And that's my memory of him. Or going down to his brother's house and my mother opening his tie and opening his shoelaces where he's had to have a few drinks.
And did you have any memory of him? Because we heard, of course, as well, that he worked in Guinness's as a cooper.
That's right, yeah.
That he was doing that when you were a child. You remember that, do you?
Not really, no. They just all the information from my mother, like that. He worked in Guinness's. And then there was a story about Guinness's as well. So, yeah.
Okay, we'll have to quiz you about that later on, Kathleen.
Could I ask something?
Yeah, Mary, go ahead, please.
Could I ask, who was the lady I bought the wardrobe of? This lady had the coverage of the swine.
Yeah, Bridget, you would have bought it from.
Bridget, was it?
Yeah,
Did Bridget marry?
No, she didn't, no.
Yeah, okay. That's all I want to know.
Yeah, she didn't marry.
Okay, I'm going to have to go to another break. Mary, we'll put you in touch with Kathleen. Kathleen, we'll put you in touch with Mary. I'm delighted that we were able to make that connection now, because they are beautiful medals and it's important that they go to the people. Are you looking forward to seeing them, Kathleen?
I am, yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd like, if Kathleen is coming to see me, that she brought Martin with her as well. I want to see... wherever members of the family is.
There's only the two of us, Martin and myself.
Yeah, would the two of us, when you were arranging to meet up with me, would the two of us come, please?
Yes, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. So thank you.
Thanks, Mary, and thanks, Kathleen Phelan. Thank you for that. And as I say, we are delighted to reunite those medals with their rightful family. And we'll have to take one more break. 51551 is our text.